대한민국 정부 성명 세용의 대륙간 탄도로켓 시험 발사 성공.
Welcome to Window on North Korea, an attempt to humanize our image of everyday North Koreans with the help of defectors now living in South Korea and elsewhere. Given the role of North Korea in international geopolitics these days, it is important to have more than the two-dimensional impression we get from the mainstream media of this seemingly inscrutable country. I am Fran Callaher, your host. This episode was inspired by a question addressed to the Ask a North Korean column at the nknews.org website. The question is, what discussions do North Koreans have about life after death? And is this a safe thing to talk about in public? Park Hui-sung, a North Korean defector, and now living in South Korea, I believe, addressed this question. He talks about the fact that since North Korea is an atheist country, they don't talk about life after death in any religious context. And in fact, the regime discourages discussion of life after death. But they do have their own unique take on immortality and seek to address people's fear of death and the unknown by considering themselves a group sharing a common destiny. And the constituents of this group sharing a common destiny are the leader, the party, and the people. This is all the theoretical approach of the regime. The leader is considered an immortal entity. It's said that North Koreans recite phrases like, "Great leader Kim Il-sung lives with us forever," and "Great Kim Jong-il lives eternally," like verses from the Bible. Mr. Park says, through the country's indirect brainwashing, these ideas become imprinted on our minds. And of course, for the longest time, Kim Il-sung, the founder of North Korea, was the leader and was considered to be immortal. In fact, when he finally did die, quite suddenly in 1994, there were people who died from shock at the news. They really thought he was going to last forever, and he still is considered the leader of the country. The second member of the group sharing a common destiny is the ruling party, and of course it never dies. It goes through various cycles of death and rebirth, and people cycle through it, but the party itself never dies. And likewise, the people, the third member of this group sharing the common destiny, as a whole, it never dies. The people making it up, the individual people, come and go, but the larger entity, considered the people, carries on. Another way of dealing with the idea of immortality is the fact that a citizen's political life is considered to be much more valuable than their mere physical life. So if you have managed to achieve something in the interests of the party or the country or even just the leader, you may earn an eternal life in that way. And the opposite is also true. If you do something that harms the leader or the party, your political life is considered to be lost and you might as well be dead. Even though your physical life carries on, you are considered to be no longer with us. So again, this is the theory that the regime puts forth, that everyone may achieve immortality by doing good deeds for the leader and the party. So Mr. Park then addresses the question, does everyone really fall for this? Do they really believe it? His evidence to the fact that for the most part people do seem to buy it is that there are stories of people running into burning buildings to save the portraits of the leaders. You may have noticed in coverage of North Korea, the side-by-side portraits of Kim Il-sung and Kim Jong-il are ubiquitous. Nearly every room, it seems, has their portraits of the leaders. And there have indeed been instances of people going to great lengths to save the portraits, even running into burning buildings. I would question, however, if this is really a genuine expression of their devotion to the regime, or whether they are simply trying to improve their standing by appearing to demonstrate such devotion. Such an act would certainly be taken note of and a record made of, and would probably make you immortal, just that act alone in their eyes. But it might not necessarily be a sincere demonstration of their faith and belief in Kim Il-sung, but more a matter of self-interest. Belief in the immortality of the leader in the person of Kim Il-sung took a hit when he died in 1994. Kim Jong-il managed to carry on the myth by proclaiming himself the immortal leader. But of course, when he died, again, quite suddenly, that really cast doubt in many people's minds. And no doubt people are exploring other ways of considering life after death and not just buying into the regime's approach to immortality. Mr. Pak, writing this article, suggests that one way people speculate about an afterlife is with ghost stories. They can be told just as mere stories and not bring consequences on themselves from the regime if they are merely considered to be ghost stories. And Mr. Pak used to hear a lot of stories from the elders as he was growing up, and people would spend long nights trading stories. This was back before there was TV or radio or other ways to entertain themselves. And Mr. Pak shares with us a story that he believes betrays a belief or at least some speculation about an afterlife. This is one of his favorite stories that he remembers his elders telling, quoting now from his article. "This happened in a place not so far from my town. In that town, there were two people named Ri Il Nam. One was an elementary school student, and the other was over 60 years old. It was a winter night. The river was frozen, and some children were skating on top of the frozen river, including young Il Nam. Little Il Nam was busy skating when all of a sudden he fell through the ice and into the water. Many children around saw what had occurred, and adults around rushed to look for him, but were not able to find him. After around 10 to 20 minutes passed, somewhere down the river, Il Nam came afloat, but he was unconscious. People rushed and got him out of the river and moved him to a house. Il Nam woke up and started to talk about what he had dreamt while unconscious. He said that he had visited the underworld and met the king of the underworld. The king of the underworld looked at Il Nam and said to him, 'Why do you look so young, even though you are old?' Il Nam was scared, so he couldn't say a word. But one of the emissaries that brought him to the underworld cautiously mumbled, 'He is only 12 years old.' In that moment, the king yelled, 'I told you to bring the 63-year-old Ri Il Nam, not the little kid, did I not? Fix this situation right away.' Little Il Nam said he woke up when the king yelled. But what was even more shocking was that around that time, 63-year-old Ri Il Nam died. There is no way to know whether this story is true or not." End quote. Again, the writer brings it up because it suggests a belief in an afterlife. He suggests another indication of a belief in the afterlife is they're using phrases similar to ours, such as, "This is heaven," when talking about something really good. Or if they're cursing someone, they might say, "Go to hell." This might be language left over from a time when Christianity actually flourished in North Korea. In fact, Pyongyang used to be known as the Jerusalem of the East. But this was, of course, before the advent of the communist era in North Korea. Despite the official resistance to talking about life after death, Confucian traditions actually are allowed and are openly discussed. Mr. Pak writes that, quote, "The Confucian tradition, which was sustained for over 500 years, remains inherent in the lives of North Koreans. The culture of ancestral rites is closely related to people's perceptions of the afterlife. Confucian views of the afterlife are more visible in North Korea, and its traditions and history are allowed." End quote. In saying that Confucian views of the afterlife are more visible in North Korea, he's not saying that by comparison to South Korea, I believe, because Confucian practices in South Korea are quite common still. He must be comparing it to other views of the afterlife. Confucian views of the afterlife are more visible than any other views of the afterlife in North Korea, was his point. Nonetheless, there are also people who totally reject the existence of an afterlife. And thus, Mr. Pak ends this article with the statement that North Korean beliefs in the afterlife vary. Of course, the story of religion and belief in afterlife in North Korea is much more complicated than this. There are still Buddhist monasteries and Christian churches in North Korea, although for the most part, they're just maintained for appearance's sake, and the true practice of those religions is not permitted. On the other hand, it's hard to believe that some isn't going on behind the scenes. Also, shamans and fortune tellers are frequently consulted, even though they are officially discouraged. This is true in both North and South Korea. And shamans and fortune tellers consult with various spirits, among them spirits of deceased ancestors. It's true in South Korea as well. professed Christians and Buddhists, and probably agnostics and atheists, are known to consult fortune tellers and shamans when they face really hard times or need some help in making really life-critical decisions. I apologize if I've oversimplified the subject here. Just wanted to give you a rough idea of what kinds of things go into the thinking of North Koreans when they think about the afterlife. The opinions expressed by Mr. Park Yi-sung in the Ask a North Korean article do not express the views or opinions of nknews.org, the website where it was posted. Tune in again most Saturdays at 10 o'clock on KTWH for another window on North Korea.